Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to have so many guests here. I think we have a bunch of guests here. So we appreciate all of you being here, and it's great to have you here for the holiday as well. This morning we are continuing our series that we started a couple weeks ago on leadership, about how to become strong leaders, spiritual leaders for God. And as we talked about, this is broad. The way we're defining this is a way that includes just about every single person leads in some kind of way. Or when we think about it just as me influencing someone else, that would include all sorts of different relationships. It would include in the church, it would include in our families, it would include those in the world, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, all sorts of different ways that we influence other people spiritually. And what we saw in our very first lesson was that God, throughout the New Testament, has called for leaders. He wants people in His kingdom to be leading other people. And then what we did was we looked at different characters. We started last week by looking at Peter and looking at what made Peter a great leader. I want to do that again this morning, and I want to do that with Moses. When you think about different leaders in the Bible, Moses is right up there at the top. When you think about leaders who led amidst extreme challenges, Moses is right up there at the top. I mean, you think about the challenges that Moses had of leading these millions of people. It's one thing to lead just a small group of five or six people. It's another thing to lead millions of people. And it's another thing to lead millions of people who don't want you to lead them. Moses was up against incredible difficulties. Not only do you have him leading all this group of people that don't always necessarily want to follow him, but then, of course, you have a huge conflict between him and Pharaoh, where he's trying to lead the people out of Egypt, and there is obstacles on every single corner. Those are the kind of challenges that I think really bring out the best in leadership. When you see a guy who could lead amidst those kinds of difficulties, we have to step back and say, wow, how did he do it? What was the technique to become that strong of a leader? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to start in Exodus chapter 2. Most leaders in the New Testament, or throughout the Bible, you tend to have this theme that a lot of them started out underqualified. That God would pick people who you look at and you say, I don't think they could do that job. We've talked a lot about that with the apostles, with Jesus picked these fishermen, and we wouldn't think these would be the guys who would travel all over the world and spread the gospel. But Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You can see that in so many other people. I mean, Gideon is a classic example of a guy who am I? I'm not the kind of person who could lead this army. David's just this little shepherd boy. We think, who is he? He's the youngest in his family. Didn't seem like there was a whole lot going for him. And yet God takes him and says, this is the one who's going to lead my nation. Moses, I think, is different. If you just look at it from a physical perspective, and you think about what are the qualifications that you would want to have in a guy who is going to lead this great slave rebellion and bring all these people, millions of people, out of Egypt and into this other land, Moses might have a lot of the credentials to accomplish that. I mean, who better than this guy who's raised in Pharaoh's house? That here he's a Jew in that he came from a Jewish family, and yet he's raised at the very top of society. So here he's got the connection to the slaves, and he's got the connection to the people in power. Who best to negotiate or lead or put together some sort of rebellion that could get these people out of the enslavement? Everything, when you see this whole story lining up, you think, perfect. This is the guy. If anybody is going to accomplish this task, it's going to be Moses. And then chapter 2 comes, and it's kind of a disappointment. Look with me in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. I see this as Moses' first attempt at leadership. That here, he could have chosen the comfortable life, and he could have said, I've got everything I could ever want here. I've got all these riches. I'm basically the prince of this whole land. He could have just stayed comfortably with that. But instead, he says, no, I'm going to go out, and he sees these Hebrews and the state that they're in, and he feels compassion for them, and he feels so strongly about it that he goes to the point of murdering this guy that is this one of the slave masters, murders him, and you would think that would be the moment. This would start the great rebellion. We started by killing this guy. All the Hebrews would kind of line up behind Moses and say, this is it. We're going to get ourselves out of here, and you could have some kind of civil war here, and eventually it would end with all the slaves being free. It doesn't work that way at all. Here's what it says in verse 13. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, why do you strike your companion? He answered, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, surely the thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. He completely fails. Here's what happens. He goes, he kills this Egyptian. It seems like this is going to be the great accomplishment, that we're going to start this little civil war, and it's going to end in this great rebellion, and we're going to get out. And it stops just as soon as it started. And it stops with Moses' own people. That he can't even leave his own Hebrew people, much less convince Pharaoh to let them go. Total failure. And what's interesting to me is it shines with several of the aspects of great leadership. Last week, when we talked about Peter, we talked about some of the keys to leadership were Peter's zeal and Peter's conviction. Moses had a lot of zeal here. Moses had a lot of conviction here. And he failed. Why? What happened? What went wrong here? That's what we got to figure out. Somehow, we have this guy standing up, taking a stand, saying, we're going to go this way. This is where we're leading. And it just fizzles. And so, Moses at this point seems to just write himself down as, I'm not much of a leader. And he goes off and he lives in the land of Midian. And he spends the next 40 years of his life leading pretty much the only thing that at this point he feels like he can lead, which is a bunch of sheep. And he's there for year after year out in the desert with a bunch of sheep, not among the riches of Egypt, not among the people who need saving, but among a bunch of sheep out in the desert for year after year after year. And it's not until he's 80 years old and he's probably thinking, you know, it's been an all right life and it's kind of, this is it, that God says, Moses, I've got another plan. And that's the scripture reading we just read, where God comes to Moses, and he comes in this burning bush, and Moses turns and looks at it, and he's trying to figure out what's going on here, and God says, take off your sandals, Moses, the place where you're standing is holy ground, and then God gives this great pronouncement. Here's what God says. Exodus 3, verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come up to me, and I also have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. God says, I've seen it. I've noticed what's going on. And therefore, I come to lead them out. I'm going to be the great rescuer who's going to lead these people out of Egypt. I pictured it this way because you do have God in this cloud representing God's presence, leading the people up out of Egypt. Now, if God had stopped there, my guess is Moses would have said, perfect. Amen. Go do it, God. Go lead those people out of Egypt. You're the only one who can do it. I'm sure you're strong enough, powerful enough, you can lead them out. But God doesn't stop there. Here's what God says in verse 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Whoa, all of a sudden everything changes. Moses, actually, you're the one who's going to be leading them out. And Moses says, no thank you. That's really not what I want to do. And it's not even just that Moses says, I don't really feel like I want to do that. Moses has some data here. Moses could look back and say, I've tried to lead them out and it really failed. God, you don't understand. I am not a leader. When I try to lead people, people don't follow me. When I try to lead people, people try to kill me. I am not the one who's going to be able to lead these people out of Egypt. Here's what God says. Verse 12. He said, but I will be with you. God did not mean this one at the top. He did not mean this one at the bottom. What God was trying to describe is this one. He was trying to show Moses, I'm going to be leading them out. And because I'm going to be leading them out, Moses, I need you to lead them out. That's the kind of leader God was looking for. To state it plainly, here's the big thing I want us to get from that. God's leaders don't lead alone. That's what Moses needed to learn. That little rebellion at the beginning, it seemed from a human standpoint, it seemed like maybe that was a good way to do it. The only problem was God wasn't involved in that at all. I mean, there was no mention of God in that whole situation. Until here, 40 years later, God says, okay, now I'm going to lead them out. And Moses, I need you to lead them out. And now, it's not Moses doing it by himself. It's God's leader leading with God. That's the way leadership works. Throughout history, that's the way God's people have led. I mean, throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. What I think about in the New Testament, when Paul talks about the way that he evangelized it, he talks about how I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And he says, so neither is the person who plants anything or the person who waters anything, but God who gives the increase. That throughout history, the great leaders understood the only reason I'm leading here is because God's leading. Okay, so if that's the case, that Moses is able to lead because God's leading, it would help if you knew something about God. It would help Moses here if he knew a little bit about the person he's going to be leading with. And so God goes ahead and introduces himself to Moses, and he explains a little bit about, here's who I am, Moses. Moses starts making he's saying, well, God, I still don't think I can do it. What about this? What about that? He says, God, what if they say, who is it? Who is this God? I don't know this God. And so then that's when God says in verse 13, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. First thing he wants Moses to know about himself is he is eternal. He uses this name, I am. I am shows this timeless nature. It's not that God was. It's not that God is someone who's going to live later on. It's that God is. I am. This always present tense of God. Now, God shows some application to that. He says, you know, I was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm the God of all those people. And here's all these people that God made promises to late, way back then. And now he's saying, and now I'm going to be fulfilling those by leading you out of Egypt. There's this consistency that God is the God of those people. God is the God of these people later on. God is consistently eternal throughout all ages. And because of that, because God's so eternal, his point is, I'm faithful. That's why he takes us back to Abraham and all those people, is because he made promises to those people. And he's still in the business of fulfilling those promises. So the first thing he needs Moses to understand about his character is, Moses, I'm faithful. One of the reasons why humans tend to have trouble being faithful is that circumstances change a lot, and we change a lot, and we tend to say, oh, well, you know, I promised that back then, but now, you know, my life's gone in a different direction, and I don't think I can keep that promise very well anymore. It's not that way for God. God doesn't change. And so God is consistently truthful, faithful to his people. That's the first thing Moses needs to know. Now, if you're a leader and you're leading there with God, knowing that you're leading with someone who's absolutely faithful is going to make a big difference. But there's another thing that he wants Moses to know about. As you continue through this whole dialogue, Moses gives this reason and that reason of why I really don't think I should lead. Finally, in chapter 4, turn over to chapter 4, verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." All right, so Moses says, "Well, God, there's this other problem. I'm not very good at talking. Physically, I don't think I'm capable of this task that you're giving me." And God says in verse 11, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.'" God says, "Moses, I am the creator. I made your mouth. You say, 'I can't use my mouth for this.' Moses, I'm the one who made your mouth. I know your mouth better than you know your mouth." Okay, so here's the two attributes God points out about himself. He's faithful, he's eternal, and he's the creator. He's the one who made everything. Because of those two attributes, who better qualified to lead his people? Who better qualified? He's the one who made all of us. He's the one who's faithful to all of us. Therefore, he's absolutely qualified for leadership. All right, so that sets the background to all of this. Eventually, Moses comes around and says, okay, and Moses goes out and he leads these people. And what I want to show with the rest of this lesson is that this idea of Moses leading not by himself, but leading with God, is what shapes the whole rest of Moses' leadership. As you read through the rest of the book of Exodus, as you read through Numbers, as you read in Deuteronomy, what you find is a man who led with a relationship with God. And so what I want to do for the rest of the lesson is I want to go through and show how that plays out. I want to show four ways that Moses' relationship with God was seen in his leadership, how he was able to lead because of that close relationship. And each one of these happens at a moment of turmoil. Each one of these events happens when there's some kind of enormous challenge that Moses is dealing with. And I think leadership really shines when things are difficult, when there's this huge problem that happens and everybody's kind of in chaos and what are we going to do? And that's when the strong leadership really shines. First one is, turn over to Exodus 33. Exodus 33 is right after the chapter about the golden calf. So this is Moses has led the people up out of Egypt, and he's gone up on Mount Sinai, and God's given him the Ten Commandments, and he comes down carrying those stones, and he gets to the bottom of the mountain, and he hears a sound, and he's not sure what it is, and it's all these people bowing down and worshiping this golden calf. And he's horrified, and he's enraged, and he takes the stones, and he throws them on the ground, shatters them all to pieces, and then he talks to the people, and a bunch of the people end up getting killed because of this, and God sends a plague on the people, and then after all this, in chapter 33, God tells Moses, "Moses, I can't be with these people. Their sin has separated me from them. I can't be with you on this journey anymore." And there's this exchange that happens. And then it tells us, in chapter 33, verse 9, it gives us a little detail about Moses' relationship with God. Verse 9, it says, "When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." So here, this little detail is given just to kind of give us some background before the conversation between Moses and God starts. But it's saying here, Moses has a very close relationship with God. Think about the way that it's pictured here. He says, Moses would talk to God like a man just talks to his friend. That it wasn't that God would send him a dream or that God would reveal it in some other way. I mean, it was just a conversation where Moses would just go inside the tent and say, hey, God, here's the problem. God would say, well, here's what you should do. Or however that would work, they would just have a conversation like two human beings talking together. And it's brought out here to say that was unique. Other people didn't have that kind of relationship. In fact, when you get to the very end of the book of Deuteronomy, it alludes to this again. At the very end of Deuteronomy, we're not going to read it right now, but in that very last chapter, it says there was no other prophet like Moses who could talk, who talked to God face to face. Not back then, not since. There's just never been a prophet like that who had that kind of relationship where they would just sit down and, hey, God, how about this, blah, 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 and God would say, blah, 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 and they just talk to each other just like that. Now, we probably don't have that relationship with God either. God doesn't talk to us that way either. But here's the point that the text is trying to emphasize. Moses had this exceedingly close relationship with God. And that seems to be a key to his leadership. That he had this constant communication, that he was that close to God that he would just talk to God about it. And the lesson for us is, and for all leaders, is if we're going to be leading God's people, we really need to know God. And we need to have as close a relationship as we can have with God, where we're able to talk to him about things, and we're constantly going to him in prayer and talking to him about this and that and the other thing, and just have this friendship relationship kind of thing where we're very, very close to God. That seems to be the first key to Moses' leadership. Second key. Continue in this text, Exodus 33, verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? Now there's a lot in that text, and it's hard because we're kind of jumping in on the middle of this conversation here. But what God is saying, God says, God and Moses are talking about this problem that God has said, I can't go with these people. They're too sinful. I can't go with them. And Moses says, you have to go with us. And God finally says, I will go with you. And God, Moses says, if you won't go with us, then don't send us at all. I can't do this without you, God. And that's the second significant thing about Moses' leadership. That he understood this concept that the only way he was going to be able to lead God's people is if God was actually with him. If God wasn't there helping him, then it's not going to happen. I can't do this by myself, God. I need you. It's like that song we sing, I need you every hour. That's the song Moses is singing right here. He's saying, God, I have to have you. In order to lead this huge group of people, there's no way without your help. All right, turn now to Numbers. Let's hit the third one. Numbers 20. You continue to see these themes throughout all of Moses' leadership. In Numbers 20, you have another instance, where the people are complaining. Now, this has happened in the book of Exodus. It's happened a couple times throughout Exodus. It's happened a couple times in Numbers. Finally, you get all the way to Numbers chapter 20. The people are complaining that they don't have any water. It's happened over and over again. What's Moses going to do about it? He does what you see him do over and over again. But I picked this one because it's really clear. Chapter 20, verse 2. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. That had to be a hard leadership moment. To have a moment where they basically totally unappreciative of everything that's happened, and they said, why did you lead us? You've been leading us in exactly the wrong direction this whole entire time. what's Moses going to do? I mean, at this point, we'd be pulling out our hair, we'd be getting angry with the people, all these different things. And the first thing Moses does, verse 6, then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. When there were challenges, Moses went back to God. When you have that kind of a relationship with God, when there are problems, what do you do? Back to God. God, trying to lead his people, it's not working very well. God, I need to talk to you about it. That's so key for leadership, to have that kind of relationship where we can talk to God about those things. And where that's the first thing we do, is that when there are those issues, the very first thing we do is go back to God and talk to him about it. All right, number 4. Turn with me back to Numbers 12. We're not in total chronological order, but I want to hit this one now. Numbers 12. Here's another time that Moses hits a challenge. This time it's from his own family. Moses is trying to lead these people, and then in this chapter, Miriam and Aaron stand up against Moses, and they start talking against him and saying, basically, why are you leading? Why don't we get to lead? Why doesn't somebody else get to lead? Why is it that you think you're so special that you get to lead? Moses never wanted to lead in the first place, but here's what happens. Chapter 12, verse 2, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly, the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meeting. And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward. And he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? All right, God talks to them, and he brings out this thing that we saw before. He says, Moses is different. I don't send him a dream or something like that. I talk to him face to face. All right, we already talked about that. Here's what I want to bring out of this text. God says, he is faithful in all my house. He says, here's what's different about Moses. Moses is faithful. And that goes right along with this close relationship. I mean, God ties it together. He says, Moses has this kind of relationship with me, and he's faithful in every single aspect. Here's this servant who's serving me faithfully every single day. Here's the point. If we have a very close relationship with God as leaders, then we're not going to be leaning off in this direction that, oh, I think maybe this is a good way to go. We're going to be faithfully leading in exactly the way God wants us to lead, in exactly the direction God wants us to go. Because for Moses, it was this master-servant kind of relationship, that he was God's servant, and he's going to faithfully do whatever God wants him to do because he's had that close of a relationship with God. All right, one final point. Let's tie this together. Turn back to Exodus. Exodus 15. Here we see Moses has this incredibly strong relationship with God, and that empowers him to lead in up against extreme opposition. Every one of these four items has some extreme difficulty he was dealing with. I want to go now to Exodus 15. This is right after he deals with an incredibly difficult challenge. This was right after the crossing of the Red Sea. When they go up to the Red Sea, and there's all this water right in front of them, and then the Egyptians come up behind them. The people of Israel are trapped. They think they're all going to die. Then God sends this great wind. It parts the water. They all go across on dry land. The Egyptians come after them. The water comes back, covers the Egyptians, washes them all away, and the Israelites are saved. Incredibly difficult leadership challenge, and it's all solved. And here's what happens in chapter 15. Moses sings a song, and he sings it to God. Read with me what Moses says. Verse 1. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Here's the beginning of the song. He's praising God. He's saying, God is this warrior. He fought this battle. He won for us. He did all this stuff. And as he continued through it, he starts talking about God's leadership. Look what he says in verse 13. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Who's leading? According to Moses. God, you did it. God, you led them. You led them out of Egypt. You led them across the sea. You've taken care of them all this way. Until verse 17, at the end of the song, he says, verse 17, you will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. He says, I can see, God, that you've led them all this way. And because of that, I'm confident you're going to lead them the rest of the way also. Here's what it was. When Moses had this close of a relationship with God, where he saw that God was leading these people, he was able to praise God. That is a huge thing. That when you stand up and you try to lead someone else, that you put your eyes on God and you say, I'm going to be able to lead these people because God is leading. And I'm just faithfully following him like a servant, like Moses did. And when God leads them where they need to go, then I'm going to praise God and thank him for being such a great and wonderful leader. And I'm going to continue to lead just the best that I possibly can, following the great leader that God is. I want to close with this verse in 1 Peter, just to tie this all to the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says, or verse 4, Here's Peter talking to the shepherds in the church there, and he says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Peter, after giving all sorts of instruction to some elders in the church there, then he says, and you know what? And when the chief shepherd appears, he's saying, you're not the only shepherds here. That Christ is the chief shepherd, and that's the key to all of our leadership. That when it comes to us leading, we need to look to God and understand God's the real leader. And when I have a close relationship with God, then I'm going to be able to lead in the way that he wants me to lead. And so the lesson for all of us is develop that relationship. If you want to be a great leader, work on developing that relationship with God. Be able to have that relationship in prayer and in study and in every aspect where you're that close to God. And that's what will cause all of us to be the kind of leaders that he wants us to be. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll have a song after that. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for leading us. Thank you for being the great shepherd who leads your sheep. Thank you for being the one who rescues us and the one who's powerful, the one who's eternal, the one who is the creator. Lord, help us to follow your lead and help us to lead others. Help us to have the power to lead because we have that close relationship with you. Help us to develop those relationships where each of us are drawing closer to you every single day, where we talk to you and where we go to you when there's challenges and where we lean on you and realize that we need you every single hour and where we're faithfully trying to follow you in spite of whatever challenge we may come up against. Lord, help us to draw near to you so that we can help other people to draw near to you as well. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. If you are not a child of God and you're not following his leadership, then we invite you now to come to him, to repent of your sins, and to choose to follow that great shepherd. If you're subject to that invitation, then please come forward while we stand and while we sing.